We're going through Hallel, and we had reached chapter 117, Kuf Yud Zayin. We're running through it, really just getting a simple understanding, and we're hoping we'll get a chance to get a deeper understanding, but for now, it seems like we're going to have to suffice with a simple understanding. And we'll begin. Per Kuf Yud Zayin is the shortest chapter. It's got only two psukim. And we'll read it and then expand on it. Hallelu et Hashem kol goyim. Praise Hashem, all nations. Shabechu kol ha'umim. Praise Hashem, all the different nations. Ki gavar aleinu chasdo, for His kindness has overwhelmed us, the Jewish people. Ve'emet Hashem lo'olam, Hashem's truth is eternal. Hallelujah. Praise Hashem. So we left off with a discussion of why should the nations praise Hashem, because Hashem is good to us. And we said that the truth is, we say in Shir HaMa'alot also, that the nations are going to praise Hashem. We say, Az yomru vagoyim, igdil Hashem nasot imede. The nations will say, wow, Hashem did such greatness to these people. Igdil Hashem nasot imanu einu semichim. We're happy, but what are the nations saying? And we discussed the concept of pirsume nisa, making God's miracle known to other people. And we discussed that sometimes that applies only to Jews, like it would seem on Hanukkah. And it seems like in time to come, it's going to apply to the nations around us. That the nations around us are going to marvel at the great miracles that Hashem does for us. And even though we saw this last time, we're seeing it this time because we need it as an introduction to the following chapter. Yeah. Well, goyim are supposed to recognize that Hashem is running the world, and out of that recognition, they're supposed to reach the point that they want to keep the seven mitzvot bnei noach. They do not have to bless Hashem, although if a goyim makes a blessing, and we know he made it to Hashem, we do answer amen. What David HaMelech is describing in our psukim is, in the time to come, that they'll be praising Hashem for the great things he did to the Jewish people. And this concept we're introduced to, Chazal introduces to this concept a few times, that in truth, the best thing for the non-Jews is when the Jews are doing what they should do. And the fact that the non-Jews are harming us stems from the fact that we are sinning. So God gives us into their hands. And that doesn't mean they're not going to be taken to task for it. The Navi says, I said they should be punished a little, and they extended it. I gave the Jews into their hands for a minor punishment. And they took advantage of the position they had to harm them greatly. And for that, the nations will be punished. But at the end of the day, the nations too will reach a recognition that it's to their benefit that we're on top. And they'll praise Hashem for the fact that He's kept His truth with us. That's what it seems. It seems we're going into the Messianic period. That's why we need this as an introduction to the following chapter.
So,
because the way the world is supposed to work is that the goyim are also supposed to move forward in the world, and the way they can move forward is when we're doing what's right, and we're, I'll call it a light onto the nations, o la goyim, when we're doing what we should be doing, then that helps the whole world move forward. And it's the service of Hashem is really something that's beneficial to the whole world. Their job is not to sit and eat pig and curse all day. Their job is also to move forward. Now, they have a more limited responsibility, but their responsibility is also to be positive and help the world move forward. So when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, that helps the whole world move forward, and that helps bring blessing to the whole world, just as Chazal derived from the previous parsha, that when Hashem brings blessing to the world, it comes through Israel and then to the rest of the world. Now, obviously, if we're not in this land, and we're under them, so there's less blessing to the whole world. The Gemara says that since the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, so there was never a clear sky. The sky, even when we see it clear, is not as clear as it was then. There's a special bracha that's made when there's rain and there are clouds, and then suddenly you wake up in the morning and see a beautiful clear sky. And the Gemara discusses, well, do we have the clear sky that is it takes to make that bracha? The Gemara says that we've lost that beauty from the world. The Gemara says ever since the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so the taste of the fruits has gone down in the world. There was a special glass that was available. It was called something chivrita, special white glass. I forgot the name. That since the destruction of Beit HaMikdash suddenly disappeared from the world. It was very hard to find. Tchelet, we're told, suddenly became more and more scarce with the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, and we're told that towards the time of Mashiach, in Kabbalah they say, I don't learn Kabbalah, but those who do quote, that towards the time of Mashiach, the Tchelet will reappear. That's why some people are very big, they want to say that this is Tchelet, because that's a strengthening of that approach. Yeah, the Gemara says if the goyim would know how much they benefit from.
Can we see from this?
See from what?
When we reading about the temple first and the second. Okay. Can we see that the goyim also got bigger?
I don't see it, no. No. If the Gemara wouldn't tell it to me, I wouldn't have seen it from Josephus or any other history book. You're asking me an honest question, I'm giving you an honest answer. I myself, from reading the history that I've read, cannot see it. I don't recognize it. The Gemara tells us that's the way it is. But to tell you that if I opened the history book, I could see that the nations benefited from the fact that Beit HaMikdash was around. I don't see it in the history books. Okay, the Gemara says it, so that's the way it is. But I can't say that I've seen it. But then again, the history books don't mention that the Jewish features changed with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that in previous times, Jews were different physically. There were physical differences between a Jew and a non-Jew. And that changed. It's not recorded in any history book, and yet the Gemara says it. So obviously the Gemara knew. The Gemara says that there were areas that Jewish women were known, they did not grow hair, and non-Jewish women did grow hair. And today we don't see a difference. So that's an example of something the Gemara says changed. There are other things that the Gemara records changed, and it's not recorded anywhere. So who knows? The fact that we don't see it from the history books doesn't mean anything. Even the history books are being modified today. With recent archaeological digs, they're discovering that the sizes of the cities were much larger than they ever thought, the cities here in Israel. And that fits with many Gemaras. The Gemaras describe hundreds of thousands of people. And the archaeological digs seem to show a city the size of Kiryat Moshe, maximum, even less. And recently, archaeological digs are backing up what we had on tradition until now. So until now, we thought maybe Chazal were using exaggerated terms to express an idea. But now, more and more, it's seeming to be, from the archaeological digs, it's seeming that really there were millions of people in the state of Israel. Back in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. So who knows? The fact that history books don't record certain things doesn't mean that it wasn't so. But if you ask me so, I got to tell you the truth. Yeah.
I don't believe everything you read, or vice versa.
The Radak explains that the reason this chapter has two psukim alone is because it's alluding to the fact that in the times of Mashiach, there are going to be two camps alone in the world. There's going to be Jew and non-Jew. Those are the only two camps that will exist. And that's what it's alluding to, the fact that this is the one parak that has two psukim. Now, let's bear in mind that we're learning on Fridays the Rambam's introduction to Perek Chelek. And over there we're learning how the term Yemot HaMashiach and Olam Haba and Gan Eden and La'atid Lavo, each one has a specific meaning. And over here, we're going to have to ignore that for a second, because Rashi over here tells us that the next chapter is going to discuss the time to come. It's going to discuss the period of after Milchemet Gog u'Magog. So there's, in Tehillim and in other places, there's a reference to this great war that's going to be. The war of Gog and Magog. What is the war of Gog and Magog? No one knows. Well, maybe some great sages know, but I don't know, and I don't know who knows. We do have some indications. There are psukim and midrashim that seem to indicate that all the nations will gather to fight the Jewish people. Every one of them. Now, when we say all the nations, we mean all the generic nations that are quoted in Tanakh. Who represents those nations nowadays? We don't know. Gog and Magog is Gematria 70, right? Gog, 3, 6, 3, 12. Umagog, 40. 3, 6, 3, that's 52, plus the Vav of Umagog is 58. 58 and 12 is 70, right? Gog, Umagog is the Gematria of 70. That's not my own. Rav Shlomo Fisher said that. So when we say Gog, Umagog, there's going to be a war. So people like to say it means all kinds of things. People wanted to say Gog is George Bush, Umagog is the 52 states. People like to say a lot of things. I'd be careful before I say anything. No, Magog is the Gematria 52. So they want to say it's the 52 states. How many states are there today?
50.
50 states?
Well, Puerto Rico is 51, and there might be another
one. Hawaii?
Well, it's 50 with Hawaii.
Okay, I don't, okay. 52. Okay. So people say all kinds of things, but who knows? Okay. What? I wouldn't worry about it. I'd worry about being a good Jew. That's our job. But in order to understand the up and coming chapter, that's why we're having this introduction. The next chapter begins, Hodul Hashem Kitov, praise, thank Hashem, for He is good, Ki Lo'olam Chasdo, for His kindness is eternal. Let's look at the end of the chapter. We go forward. The Kuf Yud Chet, Pasuk Chavtet, the 29th Pasuk. It's the same Pasuk. Hodul Hashem Kitov, praise or thank Hashem, Kitov, He is good, Ki Lo'olam Chasdo, for His good is eternal. Now, we have a tradition, the Gemara tells us, that any chapter that was especially fond by King David, he would begin with the same verse that he ended. That was a sign that he held this chapter to be extra special. So this is an extra special chapter. It begins and ends with the same words. All the Hallelukot begin with Halleluka and end with Halleluka, and also to signify this. We'll begin. Odul Hashem Kitov, praise, thank Hashem for His good, Ki Lo'olam Chasdo, for His kindness is eternal. If we were learning more in depth, we'd have to spend a lot of time on each word in this pasuk. What does the word hodu mean? Does it mean to thank? Does it mean to give praise? Does it mean to admit? Because hoda'ak also means to admit. And then we'd work on how really this word is a mixture of all three. That when you thank someone, you're admitting that you needed him, but we don't have time to go in depth. When you thank someone, you're really admitting that you needed him, and the word thank really has both in them. Lashem, what does it mean? To Hashem. You're thanking to Hashem, or are you thanking Hashem? Ki, what does the word ki mean? If, when, etc. Tov, Hashem is tov, so we'd have to define the word tov, and we'd expand on how the word tov always represents connection. Marriage is called tov, lack of marriage is lo tov. The land of Israel is called tov, the Beit HaMikdash where we connect Hashem is called tov. Anything that represents connection is tov. So which connection does Hashem represent? Maybe Hashem represents the connecting force to the whole world because He's the creator. Ki lo'olam chasdo, what does this ki mean? Does it mean when or for the fact? Le'olam, what does le'olam mean? To the whole world or eternally? Chasdo, His what? What is chesed? So that needs definition as well. We know that Hashem is Chesed. Chesed is the gematria of 72, and we know that God's hidden name is 72. And there's a lot to say on the whole, just if each word here could be broken down, but we're not learning in depth. We have to cover the perek. It's just, it hurts me to read such a pasuk that we read so many times, and we read it over, and we don't notice that there's so much to be discussed in each word over here. So, praise or thank Hashem, for He is good, for His kindness is eternal. And now, David HaMelech breaks it down. David HaMelech breaks it down to the different components of the Jewish people. After David has said in the previous chapter that all of the nations are going to praise Hashem, so now he's saying, Yomana Yisrael, Yisrael should praise Hashem, Ki Lo'olam Chasdo. Again, we have to define, what is the word Yomar? We know Vayomer is a term only used by Moshe. Vayomer Hashem and Moshe. What does it mean Yomar Na Yisrael? What does the word Na mean? Does na mean please, as is the simple understanding? Does na mean now? Or does na mean an approximation, like Rav Sadia Gaon writes in Bereishis? So what does na mean? Be'erich. That's you can see Rav Sadia Gaon and Ibn Ezra, if I'm not mistaken, the beginning of Parshas Miketz. If I'm not mistaken. that's a Gemara. The Gemara says Naz Rishon Bakasha. But the Rishon and Bale Apshat seem to have other understandings. We know that Na has another meaning also from the Psukim. What? Nachon? It's a Pasuk. So how does that fit together? When the Torah says, don't eat meat raw, the meat of the Korban Pesach says, don't eat it Na. Na means raw. How does that fit together? So that's if we were learning more in depth, we'd have to discuss how these words do, is there a connection. But we're not learning in depth now. Okay, Yom Huna Beit Aaron, the house of Aaron should also praise Hashem, Ki Olam Chasdo, for His kindness is eternal. Yom Huna Yireh Hashem, those that fear Hashem, according to one understanding, this is going on the Levim. They are the ones that feared Hashem when Moshe said, Mid Hashem Elai, they didn't serve the Egel. When the Jews wanted to turn back and go to Mitzrayim, the Levim said, no, you don't. They grabbed their swords and chased after them and said, if you go, we kill you. They said, we're going. So they killed them. There was civil war in the desert. The Torah doesn't record it very much, but we have Midrashim that expand on it, that eight families from the tribe of Binyamin were killed and a lot of Levim were killed. Civil war in the desert that the Torah sort of alludes to but doesn't give us specifics about. So they are the fears of Hashem, the Levim, Yireh Hashem. Ki l'olam chasdo, for His kindness is eternal. On a simple understanding, this is referring to the tzaddikim to chasidim. Now, being that in the time to come, people will be given back what God had initially promised them, the Jewish people, their land, the Kohanim, their service, and the fears of Hashem, or the Levim, will be given their jobs and their places of service of Hashem. So therefore, each one on his level should thank Hashem, for His kindness is eternal, and His promises are also eternal and they last. Yeah? Admit that what? Okay. The Seder. What I said, I don't like to confuse people with quotes. Who said it? It's not my idea. It's a Taz in Shulchan Aruch discussing the word modim. What do we mean when we say modim in Shmoneh Esrei? So the Taz goes into this. What does the term hoda'ah mean? It's not my own idea. But I tell guys in the beginning of the class, I'm not going to quote because I think it's just confusing to start quoting this is here and this is there. So we just mention it as we go. If you're ever interested, I'll try to remember it. You could ask me where what I'm saying is from. Pasukei, min hameitzar karati ya, anani v'merchav ya. I called Hashem from the meitzar where things were tight. And Hashem answered me, and now Hashem placed me in the merchav where I have wide space. Adonai li, Hashem is for me, lo ira, I don't have to fear. Ma yaseh li adam, what could man do to me? If Hashem is with me, I have nothing to fear. The Gemara that discusses why do people fear. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk, pachadu v'tzion chata'im, that the people in Zion were scared. Why? Because chata'im, because they have sinned. The source of fear is really when one sins. If one has really done his own, then why should he fear? That doesn't mean he doesn't act. Doesn't mean he says, everything's okay, I did my part. The Navi tells us, don't do that. Lechami, the Navi says, go hide in your room. Bova chaderecha, go hide in your room. Chavichi matrega, you have to detain yourself. Wait, let the time pass. Ad yavol zam, till the period of anger passes. A person can't say, oh, there's a war, things are going, I'm okay, I've done my part. No, everyone historically ran. David HaMelech ran, and the Medrash says, you look at all our leaders, when things went tough, they ran. So a person can't say, I did my part, I don't run. But a person doesn't have to fear. A person has to act. But fear stems from the fact that a person knows that really he has avirot and he might not make it. And he doesn't feel like he deserves to make it. Now, some people are dishonest with themselves, so they feel like I'm okay. But anyone who's a little bit honest with himself knows that he has what to fear. I think. Look, I don't want to put you guys down, but I'm talking about myself at least. Okay.
What was that word for the tight spot?
Tsar. Meitzar is a tight spot. Tsar means tight. Tzara is from the same root. Tzar is an enemy who wants to make things tight
so
for you.
So a tight spot, like, oh boy, we're in a tight spot, oh
yeah.
Boy.
Meitzar could mean a jail, it could mean, depends on the context, but meitzar is the term.
Or in a situation that's, oh boy,
right.
We're in a tight spot, oh
right.
Boy, we're in a tight spot. Or maybe you're in like a constricted space where you're not able to see your way.
Right. The only thing is, in modern Hebrew, it's not used. This is a... Right. Svi, want something?
No.
So, David HaMelech is saying, if Hashem is with me, I have nothing to fear. What could man do to me? Hashem li be'ozrai. Hashem is with me. He is my assistance. Va'ani reves onai, and I will see my enemies be repaid for what they've done. Tov lachasot b'Hashem mipetach ba'adam. It's better to have Hashem as your coverage than relying on any man. Now it's interesting. Lachasot means to have coverage like a leaf that covers you, gives you coverage. It's not any serious coverage. And bitachon is your insurance. That's what you're relying on. So David HaMelech is saying, Tov, it's better lachsot b'Hashem, to have Hashem as my covering, even though Hashem, it seems like a flimsy shield, Hashem is just that branch that's giving me shade under the sun. Better that than miptoach, than having insurance b'adam, when it's coming from mankind. Whatever Hashem offers me, even if it's only chasiyah, some form of coverage, that's better than the bitoach, the faith, so to speak, that man wants to give me. Tov lachsot b'Hashem, it's better to have that coverage from Hashem, mibitoach bin divim, than having assurances from people who want to offer things, they're benevolent and they're kind. Now, the Mefarshim say, it doesn't mean that David HaMelech didn't ask for help from people. We see throughout history, David did ask people for help, and they helped him. But David is saying, my reliance is not on them. My reliance is either that Hashem will cause them to help me, or Hashem will help me. They're not the solution, and that's a big difference. Even when we're helped by people, we have to recognize they're not the ones helping us. Hashem is helping us. They might be the messengers. We say, "Migalgelin zchut al yedei zakai." Hashem brings good things through good people to the world. We have to show appreciation. There's halacha. The Rosh says that we have to honor wealthy people. The Mishnah and Brachot discusses that you have to pause. We learned it in Shema, in honor of an honorable person. What's a person you have to honor? So one example that's given is a wealthy person. That person was given wealth by Hashem. He's given certain responsibility to do something with that wealth. Well, that means we have to honor him. So it doesn't mean that we disregard anyone and we say, yeah, I can manage without anyone. I don't need anyone. Hashem is the one I'm relying on. No. But we recognize that the source of our help is Hashem, even if it's going to come through someone else. Yeah?
In this case, a person means a Jew. The phone?
I don't know. David HaMelech says, Ba'adam, which I think means Be'ha'adam. And we know that Adam is only Jewish. Ha-Adam could include non-Jews. So if Ba-Adam means the way I think it means, Be-Ha-Adam, so then it could include non-Jews too. It means mankind.
My other question is, maybe
it's, and we know, by the way, that non-Jews helped David. In a few places we see in Tanakh that non-Jews helped him. They were even part of his warriors. Yeah.
How was he such a great warrior if he ran? I mean,
the first thing they teach you in martial arts is to run. Right?
First thing they should teach you in martial arts is to run.
And anyways, David HaMelech was being chased by his father-in-law. He wasn't going to fight his father-in-law. He was chased by his son. He was chased by Jews. He didn't want to fight them. He wanted to serve the Jewish people. He didn't run away from his enemies, but he ran away from his father-in-law. He ran away from Shaul, the Jewish king. God willing, this semester, starting next week, Sunday, we're starting Shmuel. We're going to start the story of David and Shaul. A week from today, God willing. We started Shmuel. Kol goyim sivavuni. All nations have surrounded me. And here we understand that if this is speaking about the war of Gog and Magog, so then all the nations really have surrounded the Jewish people. B'shem Hashem, and we have faith in Hashem, ki amilam, I will break them down. Amilam means I will break them down. Sabuni gam sivavuni, they surround me and surround me. You know in Tehillim we say every day, yimolel v'yavesh, right? So, limolel could mean to do this. The Mishnayot discuss in Beitzah that molelin chitin, and you have medilot, those are things that were rubbed like this. They had certain grains, kreishin, they had that were used for animal feed, and they were also used to rub on their skin, and they take off dry skin and make their skin more beautiful, and they were also used to eat. And sometimes on Yom Tov, when you wanted to eat the other grains, so you'd take the chaff off by rubbing them between your hands. So to rub something between your hands, to break off the chaff is limlol, because you're breaking off the chaff. So over here, ki amilam also means I will break them. Just like when you rub a grain between your hands, you're breaking off the chaff. Sabuni gam sevavuni, they surround me and they surround me. B'shem Hashem, I have faith in Hashem. Ki amilam, I will break them down. Sabuni chidvorim, they surround me like bees. Do'achu, they flicker ke'esh kotzim, like the fire, when it burns thorns, it catches the thorns well, but it quickly goes down. Fire of thorns. How long can it stay? So it flickers up, down. So too my enemies, even though they surround me like bees, they will flicker like a fire of thorns. B'shem Hashem, I have faith in the name of Hashem, ki amilam, I will break them down. Again, if we had time, we'd have to go into why David HaMelech is stressing the fact that they surround him. Three psukim now. Four times he mentioned that he's surrounded. Why is he comparing them to a fire? Why a fire of thorns? Why bees? And why is he saying B'shem Hashem, the name of Hashem? He didn't say, I have faith in Hashem. He said, I have faith in the name of Hashem. What does that mean? And why again is he saying, Ki amilam, I will break them? So again, that's when we have time to learn more in depth. Right now we have to cover the chapters. The Chod Dechitani Linpol. What?
Amilam. It's I really milam?
Yeah.
Ani milam.
Okay. It's like amilim. Really, grammatically, we would expect it to be amilim. Amil otam. I will make them malul. Dacho dechitani linpol, you pushed me to fall, and I almost lost it, v'ashem azarani. And Hashem helped me. Here also, we have to wonder, whenever the pasuk says, va Hashem, we know, va Hashem means Hashem with his court. Hashem is midat rachamim, va Hashem is midat adin. We're going to have it in Bereshit now. Va Hashem means him and his high court. Rashi in Bereshit, not my own. Look it up. That's what it says in Rashi in Bereshit. Ozi v'zimrat ya v'ahili lishua. That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. That's exactly the point here we have to wonder about. What's David HaMelech stressing when he says, Midat Adin is what's helping me? Is he stressing that even Midin I'll be taken out of Mitzrayim? We know I'm being pulled into... Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, take out the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. Hashem says, you go take them out. Moshe says, send someone else. What's Moshe saying? So one understanding Rav Shlomo Fisher said is that Moshe was saying, I'm Din. The Gemara says, what is the traits of Moshe? Moshe is Yikov Hadin Etahar. Moshe says, he's like Shammai. I go with Din, and I don't see Din that these people have to leave Mitzrayim. So send, Shlach Nabi Atishlach, send my brother Aaron. Aaron, who Yiyel Lecha Lepe? What are Rashi Tevot who Yiyel Lecha Lepe? Hillel. Aaron is the kind one. He's the benevolent one. Send him. He'll find good midot. He'll take them out. And Hashem says, no. Moshe says, Lo ish dvarim anochi. Lo ish dvarim anochi. The last letters is Shammai. Lo, Aleph, ish, shin, dvarim, mem, anochi, yud, Shammai. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm like Shammai. I'm Din. I can't take them out. And Hashem says, no. With Din make it come out. The Jewish people have zchuyot. You, Moshe, have to recognize that. Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, now you will see. Rashi says, what does it mean, now you will see how I saved the Jewish people from Mitzrayim? Says Rashi, now you'll see, but you won't see when we enter the land of Israel. So the question is, what Moshe do? Why is Hashem telling you, now you'll see, but you won't see when we enter the land of Israel? So one understanding, everything I'm saying now, Rav Shlomo Fisher says, part of it is from the Megillat Amukot, it's not all his, but okay. Hashem was telling Moshe, why did you ultimately not enter the land of Eretz Yisrael? I'm telling you now, this flaw is what's going to cause you not to enter. Because according to one understanding, why doesn't Moshe enter the land of Israel? Because when they're asking him for water, he feels like they don't deserve it. He says, Shimona Amorim, listen, you rebellious people. Which trait is it that caused them not to be able to go in? He didn't see that the Jewish people deserved to get the water at that time. Hashem says, oh, this trait that you're showing now, that you're refusing, you're saying, I can't go, I can't take them out. They don't deserve it. That's ultimately why you won't go in. But Hashem lets it play out. We see that Hashem was already alluding to it. So maybe, over here, what's David HaMelech saying? V'Hashem azrani, Hashem helped me, not only Hashem midat rachamim, but Hashem found that I was deserving with midat adin. Maybe. I didn't see anyone that says it. That's why I prefer to leave it open. But maybe, once we see this concept that exists by Moshe, maybe we could also apply it here. Maybe. Pasuk Yudalit. Ozi v'zimrat ya, the strength and the song of Hashem. Now this pasuk Rashi quotes in many places in Tanakh. Ozi, we would think, means my strength. Says Rashi, no. Really, we have to understand the pasuk as though the pasuk said, Oz v'zimrat ka. The strength and the song is of Hashem's. And the Yud is like redundant. So why is it there? Good question. I don't know of any place that Rashi answers that. But Rashi says the understanding... What?
My strength comes from God's
Okay, but Rashi says that the understanding over here, you could read, Rashi quotes a lot of it here, and Rashi quotes in many other places. Rashi refers to this pasuk. This is Rashi's proof that in many places in Tanakh we find this, that there's an extra yud, and really it's not to be understood this way. It's Oz v'zimrat, the strength and the song is of Hashem. That's the understanding that Rashi says we should have here. And remember this because Rashi quotes this in many places. When you see Rashi quoting this pasuk, that's the point he's trying to make.
But
the yud is extra.
But
yeah.
So
Rashi claims that's a literal meaning. Rashi claims grammatically there's no other way to understand it because Rashi says otherwise it should say Uzi grammatically. Rashi says if it meant my strength it shouldn't say Ozi, it should say Uzi. So you could read Rashi here. Rashi, Ozi v'zimratcha, the strength and the song is of Hashem, v'hili l'ishua, and Hashem was for me to strength, to salvation. Hashem saved me. Kol there will be a sound heard of rejoicing and salvation in the tents of tzaddikim. Why? What are they going to say? Yamin Hashem osachayil. Hashem's right hand is the one that really gave us the strength that saved us. Yamin Hashem romima. Hashem's right hand is uplifted. Yamin Hashem osachayil. It's that right hand which did the great winning, the great might of saving us. Even though David the Melech said, "Dachod echitan linpol," my enemies push me to fall. Lo amut, I won't ultimately die. Kiyachye, but rather I will live. Asapel maseya. Now tell over the actions of Hashem. How Hashem saved me. Hashem allows me to falter. Hashem allows me to be in dangerous situations. But ultimately, Hashem doesn't let me die. Now, one understanding over here is, lo amut means I won't have an eternal death. That my death is only for a short period of time. Ki yechyeh, ultimately I live, there's going to be tchiyat ha-metim, as opposed to the other nations. This understanding goes well with the understanding we brought last week on the mitzvah of lo tit-godedu. Last week's parasha, Hashem said, banim atem l'Hashem lochem, you're all sons of Hashem, lo tit-godedu, don't cry too much, scratch yourself and pluck out hair when you're crying over a dead person. That's forbidden. So we said, what's the connection? So we're sons of Hashem, so therefore, Kiyam Kadosh Da, you're a holy nation to Hashem. Therefore, we shouldn't tear out hair when we're sorry. Therefore, we shouldn't scratch ourselves. So we said that one understanding is because our death isn't eternal. Hashem is saying, you're Kiyam Kadosh Ata Hashem, you're Hashem's holy nation. You're going to come back. The death is only a temporary thing. So there's no reason to cry so much. When you're crying so much, you're showing as though this is eternal, and it isn't. So Lo Amut, I will not die in eternal death. Ki Yechiyah, ultimately, I will live. And I will retell the actions of Hashem. Yeso yisiraniya, Hashem made things difficult for me, painful for me. But He didn't give me to death. Again, we can understand this too as simple death or eternal death. And here we see that David HaMelech is recognizing that this period of Galut is going to be a period of pain. What's amazing is that when did David HaMelech live? At the beginning of the first Beit HaMikdash. We're sitting here reading this and thinking back to all of our history. This is all behind us, hopefully. And David HaMelech is living 400, 500, 600, 700 years before this all began. He's living before the first Beit HaMikdash, before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, before the second Beit HaMikdash and its destruction. So we're reading this as David HaMelech talking about the last 2,000 years, when really David HaMelech preceded the last 2,000 years by 700 years. Pitchuli sha'arei tzedek, open for me the gates of the righteous. Avo vam, I will be able to enter them. Odeya, I will thank Hashem. The gates of the righteousness could mean the gates of the Beit HaMikdash, the gates of the shuls. I will be able to re-enter them after Hashem saves me and thank Hashem. Again, we have the term odeh. Again, everything we said in the beginning on hodu could apply here. Why does David HaMelech say he will thank the name of Hashem that is Yud Hei? Again, that has to be defined. Notice that David HaMelech switched. The beginning of the chapter, David HaMelech was speaking about Hashem's full name, Yud, then Hei, then Vav, then Hei. And in the last few psukim, David HaMelech switched. In Pasuk Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, no, Yud Dalet. David HaMelech switched. Now he's only speaking about Hashem's name. Not only, but primarily about the name Yud Hei. What does that mean? What's the name Yud Hei and the full name? We know that in this world, we say there's only the name Yud-Heh. In the world to come, the full name will be revealed. Whatever that means, it means that to a certain extent, God's manifestation in this world is concealed because of the fact that we do see sinners successful. So David HaMelech over here, when theoretically he's talking about the time to come, why is he using this term? So we could understand it, that he's saying, when God pained me during the period when all that was revealed was God's miniature name, so to speak. God doesn't fully reveal himself in this world. Bad things do happen to good people, so that's the name he's using. When God pained me during the time that the name, the revelation of Hashem was minimized, I will even thank for that period. Zeh Ashar LaHashem, this is the gate that is really for Hashem, for the... And tzaddikim yavova, the tzaddikim will be able to enter it. Odechaki anitani, after Hashem saves me, I will thank Hashem for He answered me. But tehili lishua, Hashem was for me for redemption. Again, we have to wonder, why did David HaMelech switch to female term? What's vatehili in female sense? He should have spoken about Hashem vayehili. What's vatehili? Yeah? But the beginning of the pasuk is male. The beginning of the pasuk is odecha. I will thank you in male sense. If he was talking to the Shekhinah, it should be odech. I will thank you in female sense. He begins with male and switches to female in the middle. Evan ma'asu abonim. So what's the beginning? Odecha. Who is he going to thank? Okay, that's too complicated for me. You could say that. But okay, what I said may be too complicated for me too. I didn't mean to say it. You drew it out. okay. You could say that. Fine.
You don't have some other idea?
I remember once seeing a discussion about this. I think there's even a Gemara that discusses this. And I don't remember. I don't remember. You're saying the Vatihi would be the Aniya? What's going on the Aniya? What do you want to say? Okay.
Maybe he's better to the sound.
Sometimes it seems that way. We're going to see if we ever get to learn Yeshaya, that the Navi Yeshaya does use words that's a play on words. There are times that we do say that the words are really to fit. Vayikav lemishpat vayihi lemispach litzdaka v'tzeaka. You do have in Yeshaya, the Navi Isaiah does use a play on words like that. But here, I don't see what the song seems to go just as well. Yes. Anyways, you're forgetting that there is a tune for Tehillim on the web, and with that tune, it seems to go just as well. Even ma'asu habonim, yeah.
Is odecha to the tzaddik?
No, I think it's how thank you Hashem, ki anitani, for you answered me, you answered my prayers. I was in exile, I was suffering. You answered my prayers, I will thank you for answering my prayers. You are my salvation.
Okay, addressing the question of feminine masculine.
Yeah, I don't know. No. Okay. Oh, so that's what I thought you meant to say. That's what I thought you meant to say. For that I hear. Could be. That I hear we could say. Yeah. Even ma'asu habonim, the stone that the builders disgraced, they thought that was a worthless stone. Hayata l'rosh pina. Ultimately, that was the cornerstone. A cornerstone has to be a very good stone. That stone that's seen on both sides. So one understanding is this is going on the Jewish people. The other understanding, there's a famous medrash that this David HaMelech said about himself. When Shmuel said, I want to see your kids, so David's father brought all the kids but David. David was left out with the sheep. And there is a bigger medrash, there's a medrash which we'll expand on, which says that David's father was concerned about Amoniv lo Amonid, Maviv lo Maavit. David's father had issues with his mother, and he sent her away, and he was going to marry the maid. And David's mother told the maid, we're going to trick him. You're leaving, I'm going in. And the maid was sent away. And that night, Yishai went home. And he thought he was going to be with the maid. And he was with David's mother. And then David's mother is pregnant, lo and behold. And everyone's wondering, how'd she become pregnant? And people were talking. And in the beginning of David's life, people weren't sure who David came from. There were all kinds of discussions. So when Shmuel tells Yishai, bring the kids, I want to see your kids, David is left out. He's out in the field with the sheep. And that's Evan, the stone, Masua Bonin, that the builders were disgraced. David was disgraced. When all the kids are being represented to the great prophet, he's being left out. Ultimately, what happens? Shmuel sees all the kids, and finally he says, no. Is there anyone else? Yes, Yishai. So, Hatamu and Arim, yes, Yishai, are we finished? No more kids? Funny question. He just showed him, I think, 7 kids Yishai had. That's what he asked him, or 6 kids. And they said, oh, there's still another one out with the sheep, David. So, David HaMelech is saying, Evan, the stone, Masu Abonim, that all the builders disgraced. I tell Rosh Pina, open. Ultimately, that was the cornerstone, and he was talking about himself. Initially, right. Yeah, when we get there in Shmuel. Mitzvah in 2 or 3 weeks. We should be there, yeah. Okay, very nice. Yafem. Me'et Hashem ha'ita zot. This was from Hashem, the fact that a stone that was disgraced ended up being the most important stone. Hiniflat be'ineinu, it's amazing in our eyes. Sa'ayom asa Hashem, this is the day that Hashem did for rejoicing. Nagilav nismechavo, therefore we will rejoice, we will be happy on this day. Ana Hashem, Hoshiana, please Hashem, save us. Ana Hashem, Atzlichana, please Hashem, make us successful. Yeah.
Pele always means covered.
Yeah.
Pele always means something that's beyond our perception. Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This week's parsha. Ki pele mimcha davar lamishpat. Yeah, yeah. Ana Hashem Oshiana. The Jews say to Hashem, please save us. Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Please, Hashem, make us successful. Now, in the present sense. Baruch haba, b'shem Hashem, ultimately when the Jews will be in the Beit HaMikdash and people will come to the Beit HaMikdash, they will be greeted with this blessing. Blessed are those that come in the name of Hashem. Berachnuchem, we who are already in the house of Hashem, Berachnuchem yibet Hashem, we bless you from the house of Hashem. What? I didn't follow you. He said, "Bruchim atem la Hashem, El Hashem vayar lanu, El the strength or the God Hashem vayar lanu. He made light to us. Isru chag ba'avotim, and now that Hashem made light for us, He saved us. So then we bind an offering. Chag is the offering for the holiday. We bind it with ropes, the way they used to prepare for bringing sacrifices. They take the animal, put it by the bed, bind it to the bed." And then when they're ready to go, they take it with them. And we know that a carbon needs to be checked before it's brought, for depending on which carbon, how long you have to check it. That's the concept of bikur. Bikur with a kuf, not with a kaf. It means to be to check. When we say you do bikur cholim, people think it means to visit the sick. Bikur cholim means to check what they need. That's the halacha. You come to a sick person, you have to first make sure you're coming at a time that's convenient and that he actually wants to see you. And then what are you coming for? To see, do you need me to get you some medicine? Do you need me to get you bandages? And guys, remember this. There are people here who do Brit Milah. Sometimes they can't move out of the bed and they need bandages and they need other things. So your job as Bikul Cholim is to go and ask them, do you need me to get you bandages? Do you need me to get you supper or lunch or anything else? That's the job of Bikul Cholim, not just to walk in and sit with the guy and see how he is. The idea of Bikul Cholim is to see what he needs. Maybe he needs you to get him breakfast or lunch from the kitchen, etc. So they would bind up the korban next to their beds because they were mevakel. They would check the korban to make sure that it doesn't have blemishes. So we say, Hashem will make light for us. Hashem saves us. Yisru chag. Therefore, we bind the offering ba'avotim, with the bindings, ad kanot ha-mizbech, till we bring it to the corner of the mizbech, from the corner of our bed. Eli ata, Hashem, you are my God, you are my strength, ve'odeka, and I will thank you. Elokai, Hashem, you are my God, va'arom imeka, I will uplift you. And David HaMelech ends with the same pasuk that he began, odu l'Hashem, thank Hashem, tov, for Hashem is good, ki l'olam chasdo, for His kindness is eternal. Notice this is the theme of the whole chapter. That ultimately we will recognize that Hashem is really good, all the pain that we went through, but Hashem didn't let us die, whether it means a physical death or an eternal death. And ultimately we will recognize that what Hashem did is good, and we will thank Him for it, and we will praise Him for it. So that's the theme that David developed throughout the chapter. And that's what we say. That's what we say in Hallel every Rosh Chodesh and on the holidays. That's how Rashi and the Radak explain this parak. Yeah. Yeah. Okay?